1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now then, I happened to be in Berlin looking and watching balloons only some weekends ago. I booked a celebratory birthday weekend for Rhian, and I happened to stumble on the best weekend to go because they were celebrating the fall of the Berlin Wall. And in place of the Berlin Wall, because it's majority of it's no longer there, they've put balloons on the boundary of where the wall was. And if you want a funny story about Dad going with his school to Checkpoint Charlie into communist Germany, you must ask him afterwards. But there are these balloons, and there was a time they were going to release them into the air, and I said to Rhian, because we'd been sitting down on a cold step for a good view of these balloons going up, and I said, Rhian, this is ridiculous. You wouldn't find me waiting on a step in Dolero Park for 2 hours to see a balloon go up in the air. But anyway, I made Rhian walk the wall with me. I'm a hard taskmaster. And as we walked, every few yards you had this blue box which told you about a story about that part of the Berlin Wall. And there was one story I want to tell you about. We came to one blue box, and there was a little story there, and we all huddled around, all the public huddled around and read the story. And the title of the story was Loudspeaker Warfare. Because the wall went up overnight, separating East Germany and West Germany. Now, all the East Germans wanted to flee into West Germany, where there was lots of money. And what the communist Russia authorized was the shooting down of everyone who fled. So West Germany then respond by shouting over a loudspeaker, Germans, don't shoot Germans. Now then, that was the start of the propaganda. Next minute, the East Germans shout back other stuff, how great life was on this side of the wall. And this was the loudspeaker warfare that I was reading about. Propaganda. One message being hurled over the wall, and then another message being hurled the other way. Until the East Germans gave up. They couldn't compete with the American-backed loudspeakers. They couldn't compete with the amps the West Germans had. And so they gave up. Victory for the West Germans. But you see, here in 1 John, we have a different loudspeaker warfare. We have those who profess and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and then there are those who do not confess Jesus. There are those in this world there are so many messages around us, but which one is right? From which camp do these messages come from? Is it a message that is clearly from the Holy Spirit, or is it a message where it's clearly from the spirit of the Antichrist? So my first point is this: as we consider this spiritual loudspeaker warfare, this spiritual world and the spiritual message, my first point for you is this: don't be gullible. Be careful. You see, the world beyond this building believes that anyone who walks through here is gullible. They think that we must have some sort of insecurity that we would believe in a God, that we must be unintelligent, that we take the Bible literally is bonkers, that there's mistakes everywhere. They think we've been duped. Now, I don't agree with them, neither do you, I'm sure. But perhaps we are a little gullible when someone comes and says, "I speak from God." Why do I say that? Well, first of all, we accept there is a spiritual world out there. And we're susceptible, aren't we, to a message. And we want to know God's message. Put it like this. In my email inbox, sometimes filters through a scam email that says, "Congratulations, Owain. You have won £5,000 to claim your reward. Just give us your bank details." Now, how many of us have been silly enough to go, "Well, I wonder"? Click. Is there a danger, perhaps, that as Christians, we're too ready to accept any words? We're to be careful. Verse 1 of that chapter: "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And the reason that is so is for many false prophets have gone out into the world." So if someone says to you, "I've got a message from God," we're to test it. To be careful, not to be gullible. And we'd be really foolish if we didn't think there were some bad spirits out there. You know, there are so many youngsters, when you go through youth club, then they don't realize there's actually a hell. They're all too ready to believe in heaven, but hell is something that they don't need to think and dwell about. At the same token, we're all too ready to believe in angels and creatures that fly in the air, but demons and the devil, no, we won't go there. But if we look around us, there's clearly an evil spirit at work, countering the good message that we're trying to proclaim, the gospel. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, we read of this evil power that has gripped Wales, that has gripped Britain. It's chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." There are those outside this building, and maybe some inside, where we're following a spirit, an evil spirit, a spirit of the Antichrist, which I'll refer to later. So let's be careful. And more so because, as Tim preached a few weeks ago on chapter 2, verse 19, the threat actually comes from within. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. 18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not from us. These people who are engaging into this spiritual warfare, loudspeaker warfare, they'll crop up amongst us. And we're to be careful not to be gullible, to test the spirits, examine their lives, examine everything about them. And I was speaking about this in Talsarne by Harlech only last week. And it's very much a message for them because they are visiting speakers every week. So they have to be really careful, don't they? But I worry about the chapels around us who invite any Tom, Dick, or Harry to preach. What message are they receiving? What assurances do they have that the Holy Spirit is speaking to them? I think we should pray more for them. We've all got connections to friends and families in the chapels around us, and we must also pray for ourselves, for the elders, and anyone who speaks in the pulpit. So, even this church must be careful. The threat will come from within, and there are many of these speakers. In verse 1, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. So let's think about that, consider it, and be careful. My second point is this. For us to be careful, we must know what we're looking out for. And it is important that we concentrate on the content of their message. So my first point, don't be gullible. The second thing is the content of their message. We're not to assess a speaker by their style, their monotone voice, or anything like that. Maybe bad grammar or bad English. In my case, bad Welsh and English. We're not to assess those kind of things when we listen out to a preacher. Because if that was the case, then, well, we could be easily deceived. David Attenborough, I love when he tells a story. You watch these BBC nature programs. I think it's David or Richard. I get confused. David, thank you. But I love the way he talks about the tiger hiding in the grass, ready to pounce. It's great. It's gripping. He speaks with authority, doesn't he? And if he was to tell the nation that we've evolved from bacteria, well, it must be true. That's the way the world thinks. Or Professor Cox, I had great admiration for him until recently when he said that there must be several universes and that one of them harbors life. And we just happen to be in the right universe and whatever. But you know, he speaks with authority. He's so cool, he's so down with the kids, and he's to be believed. Well, if you go after style, if you go after the way they say things, then we would be deceived. You know, if an angel spoke like that and said that we've been evolved, we're not to believe it. Galatians chapter 1 says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." So don't be deceived, even if it's an angel. We've got to focus on the message. What is the message? That message is in verse 2 of chapter 4. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." It's mind-boggling. Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. Who is he on yonder stall? Some people cannot answer it. Surely it cannot be the Christ. No way would he be in the flesh. But he did come. He humbled himself to the will of God and took on bodily form. Every Christmas, I think of the fact that our Creator, our Savior, our King was once a baby. I see Max is with us. I bet you Dylan throws him up like a rugby ball. And I bet you Joseph did that once. And I bet you Jesus was learning how to breathe for the first time, how to lift his head from the floor, when to crawl, when to walk. It's mind-boggling. And some people cannot accept the truth, and so they distort it. And they say, verse 3, they do not confess that Jesus is not from God. He was not divine. No way did he come to earth. When we read John's Gospel, we read, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." When we sang that first hymn, didn't it speak volumes of the grace and truth of Jesus' life? How he pardoned people even when he was being crucified. It is so important that we remember that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You know, there's this e-book that Ben has pointed us to download. Well, I was looking and there's another book from John Piper, 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came. It is so important. There are 50 reasons for it. I'm not going to go through 50 with you. I'll go through 3. One reason that Jesus had to come was because man messed things up and it was for man to sort out. Galatians 4, verse 4. Turn with me if you can. We'll be flicking through the Bible a little bit. Galatians 4, verse 4. Because man had messed it up, there was a penalty. And it was up for a man to pay that penalty. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. There was a law. We'd broken it, and it was for Jesus as man to sort it out. Another reason why Jesus had to come in the flesh was because blood had to be spilt. If you think about it, we've all got our hearts pumping blood through our veins. It's a symbol of life that blood is just going round and round and round, but as soon as life stops, that blood just rots. Now, Jesus needs a living sacrifice to pay for that penalty. And you read in Leviticus chapter 17, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. God requires blood. God's wrath must be satisfied. He is so angry with sin. And he can't satisfy himself with the blood of a lamb or a goat or a bull or a dove or anything like that, because it's man's penalty. And so Jesus came. And he spilt his blood for us. Hebrews 9 verse 22, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So on that cross, we have forgiveness for sins. He sees Jesus' blood, and his wrath is satisfied. That's the second reason why he came. And the third, very quickly, is that as a man, he can sympathize with us. He was tested, tempted. He was hurt, just like we've been hurt. He's experienced the things we've experienced. So again, in Hebrews chapter 4, just a few pages back, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We have a great high priest. This is why Jesus came as well, so he can sympathize with us. But let's just take it that those who John in chapter 4 speaks of, those who do not confess Jesus, they're chipping away at this. They're chipping away at our faith, at the message, the gospel message. If they can convince us that Jesus didn't come, then we start to question, well, if he didn't come, then Jesus can't sympathize with us. Or if we believe these evil spirits who are hurling different messages to us, and we believe them, then we may think that, well, perhaps the blood of a goat or a lamb is sufficient. And that Jesus' death was unnecessary if he isn't the Christ. And slowly but surely, if you let the spirit of the Antichrist chip away, then it's going to trip you up. You see, the spirit of the Antichrist, verse 3, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. This spirit wants to deceive you. This is the devil's aim, to trip you up. The devil doesn't want us to dwell on Jesus as Christ come in the flesh. as Tim explained again a couple of weeks ago, that this Antichrist, it's those who pretend to be Christ themselves or those who deny that Jesus is who he is. We're to be wary of them. And John, in his second letter, again, wants us to look out for these people, because in his second letter, he says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." So just be wary. Don't be gullible. Listen now to the content of their message. Does it build up Christ? Does it acknowledge and confess him as Lord? Remember, Jesus came to a man full of demons, and they knew exactly who Jesus was. In Luke, it says, "And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" Even the spirit of the Antichrist can acknowledge Jesus, but does he honor him? So be careful. There are many of them out there. And it's worrying because they're in the world already. Verse 3, "Which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." So what hope is there for us? Well, my third point is this. The character of those that listen. So my first point is being gullible. Second, the content of the message. But thirdly, those that listen. Who are they? Well, for the Christian, verse 4, they can overcome. They can overcome this spirit of the Antichrist. "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. And the reason this is so is this: for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." We have the Holy Spirit. The reason we don't have to dwell about these demons and evil spirits is because we have a Holy Spirit who is much stronger. The devil is strong, of course, but with the Holy Spirit, we do not need to be worried. We can overcome. We can withstand this barrage, this loudspeaker warfare. In John, chapter 2, verse 20, we read, "But you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you all have knowledge." We've got this knowledge. If the Holy Spirit anoints us, dwells within us, then we can withstand the schemes, the fiery darts of the devil. So the Spirit helps, comforts, helps us to interpret these messages, to weigh things up and to test. What about the other listeners? Well, I'm afraid, just like there was the Berlin Wall, there's a clear divide. There are some listeners this side, and there are some listeners that side. Just like there are speakers from both sides, there are listeners. The Christian, well, yeah, with the Holy Spirit, we can listen to the right message, the gospel. But don't be surprised if there are those who are lured away by a false message. They're not anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they are from the world. Look how many times the world is mentioned here. It's mentioned in verse 3, and then it's mentioned another 3 times in chapter 5. Verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. I'm sure you're all thinking now about when to put a Christmas tree up. And Rhian and I had a bit of a debate, shall we say, to put it politely. She wanted a fake Christmas tree. It would save money, time, it would save me from hoovering up. And Rhian is thinking, I don't want those pines getting everywhere. But I was, on the other hand, saying to Rhian, are you for real? Are you serious? We live in Llanbrimair with the hills and the nature and sheep in the yard, and you want to bring in something fake into the house? How dare you? But you know, there are some people out there, they're fakers, and there are those who like the real thing. And when this barrage of messages, one from the spirit of the Antichrist, one from the Holy Spirit, there are those who listen, and those who listen to the Holy Spirit, they want something real. They're craving for reality, to make sense of the world. But there are those who are fakers, who would rather an easy life, like the fake Christmas tree. They'd rather be in the world and enjoy the world and not have the hassle of being obedient to Christ and to acknowledge Him and to bow down before Him. There is a wall. It's sin, and it's stopping them from seeing reality, clouding their judgment. The devil has deceived. So don't be surprised if you see there are 2 camps of listeners. And as I was speaking about this last week, Dewi Tudur from Harlech said he went to the Berlin Wall in 91, a year after it collapsed, and he bought a piece of the wall as a memento. And when he got back to the bus where the tour guide asked them, make sure the paint is dry, he bought fake piece of concrete that someone had mixed in the back garden. So what he did, he left the bus, and he went marching to a nearby wall and bulldozed it down for a real chunk. And I hope tonight you have that same zeal to go after what is real, not what is fake. So to conclude, which side of the fence, of the wall, are you sitting on? Can you see the falsehood this side? Are you listening to the spirit of the Antichrist, or are you listening to the spirit of truth, full of grace? Jesus was willing to come into flesh to die in your place. That is love for you. And if you cannot see that, then you're missing the point. And if that is love, then what is untruthful about it? This world, materialism, you saw Black Friday, how everyone went nuts. They're going after what is fake, after TVs and silly things. Strive after what is real. You know, I want to finish. We've read John's Gospel, we've read John's letter, but in Revelation, another of John's writings, chapter 3, verse 20, I have this image of Jesus knocking on the wall. He's doing a rescue mission. He's coming from this side into the world to save sinners. In verse 20, we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So, we've been looking at Jesus Christ tonight, that he's come in the flesh. Who is he on yonder stall? We've sung, "Who is on the Lord's side?" I hope you can see now there's a clear divide and that you'll be careful now to listen to the gospel and not to be deceived, and that you would be good listeners from now on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I hope, Lord, that you will implant this message in us, that we won't forget, and when the time arises, that we will listen out to the content and not be gullible, that we won't be deceived, and that we would fully trust in the Lord for our salvation. And if there's anyone here tonight on the fence, they don't know which way they're going tonight, whether they're with the world or with Jesus, I pray you would make it very clear to them tonight. In your name, amen.